Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blitz and the blitz and then all his reindeer are pulling on.
Here comes Santa Claus, Craig, but where did Santa Claus come from? What's the origins? What's the backstory, right? You know, you get the
backstory.
Oh, that's, isn't that what it is? You sort of know somebody and then you're thinking, what made this person Santa Claus? Who he is? Where did it all come from? Well, there might be an answer. We've got with us, let's first tell you that nearly a century ago, an accomplished magazine and newspaper reporter, Sarah Addington, wrote a special story for the Ladies' Home Journal. It revealed the backstory of how Santa Claus came to be. It was published in 1922, but the classic eventually disappeared. Somebody's found it. We'll find out how she found it and what's happening. I guess Pamela McCall joins us, publisher of Grafton and Scratch Publishers. They're re-releasing The Boy Who Lived in Pudding Lane. Pamela, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So when did you first hear of this story, The Boy Who Lived in Pudding Lane?
Well, I went looking for it last year. I was trying to find who'd written about Santa Claus as a young boy, or just, you know, stories around his family, or just any of it. And I stumbled upon quite a rich folklore. Quite a few people had, you know, written lovely little tales and stories about this, you know, most loved character of all time. And then I bumped into Sarah Addington's work, and I just fell in love with it. It's just such a charming, charming story, and it was just a delight to publish it.
Now, this isn't the first time you've taken a story from the past. You had a unique version of "Twas the Night Before Christmas" recently. Tell me a little bit about that process.
Sure. 5 years ago, I published the most famous poem in the English language, "Twas the Night Before Christmas," and I edited out the smoking pipe for the first time in history, and ended myself up in quite the little international media storm. A lot of people really found that to be a bit beyond the pale, and it really did create quite a stir, I must say. I even was accosted in a New York library by somebody who hit me over the head with my own book. But it's gone on to win 8 book awards, and it's an extremely popular book.
What happens to the rings of smoke that go around his head like a wreath? What did you insert there, or did we just kind of edit it?
No, I didn't feel like I should rewrite the most famous poem in the English language. I just decided to snip out 16 words and let them fall to the floor, and it worked. I mean, you know, it's an incredibly popular book. I've sold a great many copies of it in many languages all over the world, and it's just relevant in this day and age to not have a smoking Santa Claus. I mean, this book was for children, and children didn't want to have a smoking Santa Claus, especially the kids who had parents who smoked. They'd just written letters to Santa saying, "Hey, Santa, can you help us out here? Can you get our parents to quit smoking as a Christmas present to us?" And, you know, the last thing those little kids need is to bump into Santa Claus smoking in their favorite story. So, you know, I did it for them, and anybody who wants to hit me on the head with my book,
So what do we know?
It's a whole other piece.
What do we know now about Santa that maybe we did not know before, or maybe we've forgotten?
Well, you know, the wonderful story with Sarah Addington is that she plays into all the nursery rhymes with this. So you've got, you know, Mother Goose is Santa Claus's grandmother. King Cole's there. He marries the daughter of the candlestick maker. You know, it's a lovely, lovely story, and it brings all these different, very popular characters to life again. And I had somebody write me and say, "Do people, you know, still know who Mother Goose is?" And I thought, "Oh, I sure hope so. I mean, that's such a lovely, you know, rich, all those nursery rhymes are so lovely." And I just thought, I hope everybody keeps reading those, and I hope they love this book too.
Now, when you read this, was it published in the Ladies' Home Journal? So it was sort of more of an article in the magazine rather than a standalone book at the time. Is that correct? Or
yes, it was in Ladies' Home Journal in 1921, and then it was published in hardcover in 1922, and it's now fallen into the public domain as of 1923, and also Sarah Addington died quite young, and so it's in excess of 70 years past her death, so again, it's public domain. So I checked with a lawyer, and I made sure that was the case, but I just couldn't believe that this book had been just left on the shelf like that. I think it was because Sarah Addington and the illustrator both died young, but they didn't have any children either. And I think that possibly is why it didn't live on. I don't know exactly. This is the most popular, most famous character ever written, Santa Claus. He still outsells any other character, you know, when they use him in ads, and he's the most loved for sure. And as you know, "Twas" is the most famous poem in the English language. So, you know, I think that people will be fascinated by this rendition of, you know, of how Santa Claus grew up as a little boy, who his siblings were, and how he became the gift giver of all time, and how that happened.
I'm more interested to know who Santa's parents were. What kind of parents could have a child that would grow up like that? What parenting techniques can we learn from Santa's parents?
Well, his father was a baker. You know, they lived in a sweet shop. So I think that the fact that Santa Claus, you know, loved sweets from an early age, you know, maybe contributed to his girth. But no, it's a really fun story. I mean, Sarah Addington was no lightweight. She was a journalist. She came from the Columbia University first Pulitzer School of Journalism as the first woman, and she was a an astute writer. She's a journalist, so you know the book's got some depth to it too. These characters have some really interesting little idiosyncrasies, and it's just fun to read as an adult as well.
Here's part of an excerpt from it. It says, "Just before he fell asleep, little Santa wondered how in the world he would ever make enough toys to go around among all the children of Pudding Lane. But of course, a promise is a promise, and he had to do it somehow." So what, did he make a promise to some people earlier, and now he had to figure out how to keep his promise?
Well, he wanted to be the gift giver. He wanted to make toys for people. That's what he wanted to do. It was his career path. And everybody in his family comes to his rescue, including King Cole. The Mother Goose goes to King Cole, and they work out this plan so that that can happen. It's like any child who's got an aspiration, and the parents and the family rally to make that happen. It's great. And I think my favorite part of the book, though, has to be the relationship between Mrs. Claus and Santa. It's just such a lovely, lovely love story. It's really sweet.
Is the illustrations from the original, or have they been updated in any way? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I hired an award-winning designer for this book. I didn't want to do it to the book in any way. I wanted to really, really bring the book back to life. And so she tipped. She did some enhancement on the illustrations, and then we colored all the pages so it actually has a bit of an antique-y feel to it without being overly, you know, dramatic about it. But it has this feel of being an older book. It's very classic in its look. But it stays true to the original. The only thing we changed was a cover, and we just did that because we felt it was important to, in this day and age of marketing and everything else, that it needed a bit of a fresher look. So we did make that decision to do that.
Does Santa have now a Facebook or Twitter or a hashtag or anything like that? How can people kind of get on board with finding this book?
Well, it's in bookstores, of course, and it's also on Amazon. And then I have a Twitter campaign attached to my "Twas the Night Before Christmas." It's called "Twas for Kids." It's a campaign to keep the message going that, you know, smoke-free Santa is a viable concept. So I Twitter out through that. But it's primarily just through the major bookstores is the way to find this book, and, of course, through Amazon.
It's called "The Boy Who Lived in Pudding Lane." Our guest this morning, Pamela McCall, from publisher of Grafton and Scratch Publishers. Outside of these holiday books, what are the kind of publications does Grafton and Scratch get involved with?
Well, I have another Christmas book out this year, Santa's Song. It's a lovely, funny little Christmas book. It's a song book based on "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." And here's one for you. I've been doing this for 50 years. Just throw me a letter, not a vowel. Just throw me any letter.
J,
just do a Jerry Christmas and a Jerry Jew Jeer. So you take "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" and you do "Nee Nis Nu and Airy Nismas." So the whole Santa's Song is this fun little book for kids, and I just put that together, and it's also available out there on Amazon.
Well, it makes for fun alternative Christmas carols, that's for sure. Well, Pamela, yeah. we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for sharing the story of the boy who lived in Pudding Lane with us this morning. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, bye.
7:48 at AM 930 WEOL. Craig, I'm wondering if this gets under the same thing like the name game with the, you know, the name Chuck. I don't know if there's I got to be careful when we're doing
Stop.
Well, I'm just, you know how that works. Come on.
Isn't that amazing how it just rolls off her tongue to do that?
Sure.
Could you do that?
I am not going to attempt that.
No.
I don't quite know where it goes.
There's trouble afoot.
I have to review all of the possibilities because here on radio, sometimes it just gets out and we can't get it back.